Would you pray with me? Lord, we certainly do thank you for this day and for our time to be here in your house, and Lord, to be here in the presence of you and your love for us. Lord, I ask that we fully realize the depths that you went to show us your love and that you have included us as a part of your family. Lord, we pray now that as we turn to your word, that you would continue to fill us with your spirit here today, and that we're equipped here today to serve you in the world. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few distractions that might be going through our minds so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that I've shared this story before in certain settings. I can't remember if I've done it in a worship service or not. But when I was at the seminary, we would have some fairly extended breaks, especially during the summer. And then every now and then we would have a two-week to three-week Christmas break and spring break. And during those breaks, we would get the opportunity to come back to Cisco, to Texas, and visit family. Now, there would be a few times every once in a while where either I would have to get back a little bit early or Stacy would have to get back a little quicker than the rest of us. And so what we would do is we would put one or the other on the plane and send them back to St. Louis while the rest of us stayed and enjoyed a little more time here in Texas. Well, one of those particular trips, and I can't remember which one of us had to fly back, but we went to Love Field, and we got there in plenty of time, you know, so that you can check your luggage and get plenty of time to get through security and get on the plane. Well, we had so much time, we decided we were hungry and we wanted to eat, so we went and stood in front of a McDonald's. The line was pretty long. We decided, you know, it would be much more comfortable if we went and sat down in a place and ate. So we walked around to a little restaurant there in the airport. We sat down to eat. The waitress came and asked us for our drink orders. Me and Stacy looked at each other and said, "Where is Riley?" We jumped out of our chairs. We went back around the corner to where the McDonald's was. And I will tell you, I don't know that I've been so relieved in all my life to see him standing right there where we left, with a gentleman who was there beside him telling him, "Your parents will be back." I thought about this. I guess it's Riley morning this morning. Too bad he's not here, huh? We have started a little truck restoration project, a pickup, the 1962 Ford pickup that my dad drove for years and the pickup that I learned to drive on. Before he went back to college for the fall semester, we had a little bit of time to work on it. My dad came down and helped, and mainly the engine part right now. And so my dad said, "Okay, we need the push rods." If anybody knows what that is, you probably don't care, do you? But anyway, we needed those things, and we looked everywhere, and we couldn't find them. And we're sitting there thinking, you know, how can you lose, I guess it was 12 of them. How can you lose 12 rods, nearly a foot long, and as big around as a pencil? How can you lose those things? So Riley turned the shop upside down. I think I turned it upside down three or four times looking for it. We called my dad. "Did we leave him there?" "No, we didn't leave him there." So we gave up looking. Well, about 3 days later, we were looking for another little a package of bolts to put the valve cover on, just to secure it to keep some dust out. And I was going through bags and little containers that we labeled and put the bolts on. And I reached down and grabbed this bag and I said, "Riley, look here." Guess what it was? It was those push rods. We found them. I want you to stop and think for a moment. What is something that you have lost before? Just think of what that is. And for some of you, it may be something that snaps into your mind immediately. For some of you, you may have to search back there in your memory for just a little bit. But what is something that you have lost before? Credit card? Who said? Okay. Yeah. A wallet? Keys? A child? Yeah. And you know, I'm going to say whatever it is that we've lost. How many of you have ever lost any homework that you had to do? Yeah, we usually blame that on the dog, don't we? Yeah, I mean, all of these things that we lose, and we may spend hours looking for them. Why do we do that? Because I'm going to say, when we spend hours, when we spend a lot of time looking for something, it's because it had a significant value. I believe that's exactly what we see in these two parables that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15 this morning. In Luke chapter 15, the first couple of verses, Jesus is kind of, I guess, setting the stage for us here, the situation that he's in. In verses 1 and 2, he said, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago we talked about life in first class and how Jesus was invited to actually eat with the Pharisees. But even at that point, the Pharisees are trying to trap him because he's constantly making connections with who? Tax collectors and sinners. And so here we have it staged again. The Pharisees and the scribes, they're grumbling, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And he goes on to say this first parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" Now, I don't know that I didn't call anybody when I found those push rods to come rejoice with me. But Jesus gives the picture here that when we find something that's lost, and especially that lost sheep, that shepherd and the owner, they're going to call everyone together and they're going to rejoice because that sheep that was lost is now found. And I thought about this, and I don't know that we understand the significance of that lost sheep like those shepherds would have. Now, we might have some ranchers in here that can identify with losing a sheep or losing a calf or something like that. But a sheep was entrusted to the shepherd. And if we look back at Amos chapter 3, Amos is really getting onto the Israelite people. I mean, he's really pronouncing judgment on them and telling them if they don't turn from their evil ways, the Lord is going to destroy you. But he gives them just a little glimmer of hope in chapter 3, where he compares the Israelite people with a shepherd and sheep. And he says that the shepherd will rescue the legs, two legs, and an ear from the mouth of a lion. Now, what he's referring to there is the fact that he's going to destroy Israel, but not completely. There's going to be a remnant of them. There's going to be some pieces left that they'll be able to pick up and move forward. But if we really think about what that means, a shepherd was willing to risk his life to even go after a lion to rescue just some pieces of that sheep so that he would not be responsible for the loss of that sheep. Because if you could produce just some evidence that you had part of that sheep, that shepherd didn't have to repay the owner for the sheep. And so there is a very huge significance in the fact that a shepherd is going to leave the 99 and go out and find that one that's lost. He doesn't want that lost sheep to be on his head. And so that shepherd is going to leave. He's going to go out. He's going to find and rescue the sheep that's lost. And when he finds it, what's he going to do? He's going to rejoice. It was a happy time to find a lost sheep. He goes on in verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." In my mind, I'm thinking, one coin, what would we do? Let somebody else find it. But it was probably worth about a day's wages during her time. And so she would diligently search for that. She would light a lamp. You got to understand, they didn't have all these lights that we have, right, today, and they didn't have a cell phone to turn the flashlight on and look under stuff. They had to light a lamp and search for that coin and take a broom and sweep the floor until she found it. And she was rejoicing. It'd be like us. I mean, if it's a dime or a quarter, well, no big deal. But if it's a $100 bill, we'll probably go through every pocket in the laundry, right, to try to find it. And when she found it, she rejoiced because she was so excited. Stacy, the other morning, she put on a pair of pants and reached into both pockets. And she said, "Look at this." She had, I don't know, $13 in those two pockets. I mean, we were happy. Or she was, for sure. But she rejoiced. I mean, the lady rejoiced when she found that coin. Now, the question is this. Those are pretty good practical parables, right? You find the sheep, you're happy. You find the coin, you're happy. You think that's all Jesus wants us to get out of that? Hope you find your sheep. Hope you find your money. Well, I kind of left out the end part of both of those, didn't I? When Jesus says in verse 7, he says, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And then in verse 10, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." You know, my question is this. When he says that there's more joy in heaven when one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance, did he really mean that? Is there anyone that doesn't need to repent? And I firmly believe that's almost the whole point of these two parables. This passage is used a lot of times for mission and outreach messages. But I firmly believe before we can use it as a mission and outreach passage, we've got to understand what it means for us personally. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell the Pharisees, because the Pharisees put themselves way up here on a pedestal. We don't need forgiveness. And here you are associating with these tax collectors and sinners, the worst people of all. And Jesus says there's more rejoicing in heaven when one of them repents than all those 99 who think they're better than anyone else because they don't realize they need to repent. We all need the forgiveness that Jesus brings. I don't know if you realize, but we were all lost. We were all lost in our sin that we were born in. We were actually destined to die. We were destined to be punished for eternity for our sin. But God sent His Son to step in to rescue us, to be the shepherd that comes in and not just clean up the pieces, but take us as a whole person, who we are, the way we are, to bring forgiveness and life to us. And there's rejoicing when people come into a relationship with Jesus. And that rejoicing is what we do here on Sunday mornings, I hope. I hope and pray that we're happy that we see everyone here because we know that we're a part of that family of God. We're a part of the flock that Jesus has brought to himself. And I want you to understand that what did the sheep have anything to do with him being found? And the coin really brings it out because the coin definitely doesn't have legs to walk to its owner, does it? The coin and the sheep did nothing to find their owner or the shepherd. The shepherd and the owner found them. That's exactly what God has done through Jesus for us. He found us in our broken state and claimed us as his own. And we're his sheep. We're found. And there's rejoicing. And when we fully understand that, when we fully understand that in God's eyes, everyone is on the same playing field, everyone is a sinner in need of Jesus, then our eyes are open to see others who need to know Jesus as their Savior. There are a lot of lost people in the world. And we've been called to search them out, to seek them out, so that they too can enjoy the forgiveness in life that we have. We were lost, but found. Many people are lost and need to be found. I pray that God uses us in His mission work to help seek and bring people to know who He is, so that they too can enjoy the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with Him forever. It is a day of rejoicing, knowing that we have that forgiveness in life and that we've been found by Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.